Blog Talk Radio.
Internet world, welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on my podcast. Today is Monday, March 18th, 2024. In just about 2.5 days, my dear Iranian friends will be celebrating the official start of spring, or the Persian New Year, which is traditionally called Nowruz. And so we're going to have a special program this Thursday just explaining what Nowruz is all about and having some music and celebration and some time of reflecting on the upcoming year, the new year for my dear Iranian friends. Today on The Cross in the Desert, I want to honor the courageous women freedom fighters of Iran. And the reason I want to do this is because they are so inspiring to me. I write about them in my book, Uprising. And this is still Women's International Month, and there are no better examples of courageous, tough, strong, just amazing women than the freedom fighting women of Iran. I'll say it right yet, but this is the whole heart and soul of everything I do. Since I began this broadcast back in June of 2013, this has almost been 11 years, I have talked continuously about the brave women of Iran, but you can never say enough about them. In fact, if you want to read more about them, I just encourage you to get my book, Uprising, We Are the Revolution. It's up on Amazon in both Kindle and paperback, and hopefully soon it will become an audiobook production, and that will be very amazing as well. Today, in order to celebrate these great women, I came across an article from Lana Silk of Transform Iran. And I think it really sums up in many, many ways exactly my feelings and emotions about these brave women who have undergone so much oppression since the beginning of this regime in 1980. We have suffered, they would say, for almost 44 years. But again, we are talking about a group of women who refuse to allow the oppressive laws, the oppressive man-made Sharia laws, to keep them under oppression. And they say it best. They say, we Iranian girls are not afraid of anything anymore. According to Shahrid Madia, a brave Iranian woman, she spoke with a correspondent on the BBC in an interview without wearing the hijab, her feelings and why she believes that way. So I want to take some time right now to speak to us from this article and read Lana Silk and her observation of the courageous women of Iran. Many of us cannot imagine the reality of oppression so real and so intense that we would be utterly fearless to combat it. Today's Iran morality police continue to assault, imprison, and murder women in cold blood for violating hijab laws. Treated as second-class citizens without Autonomy writes, many Iranian women are even used by their husbands, the authorities, and other male figures for the purposes of a sexual exploitation, oftentimes against their own will. This is oppression, and it is their reality. Yet, as countless obstacles stand in the way of their freedom, Iranian women fight unafraid and unashamed for basic human rights. During Women's History Month, that's this month, it is important to recognize the history that Iranian women are making in this very present moment. Iranian women continue to push back on the regime's control. It is really a true war. As the government's chokehold tightens on what these women can wear, say, and do, including, of course, I've talked about the cameras, and you've heard about that. It's a newly implanted internet directive, further limiting their access to the outside world. These women are taking action, and the whole world is watching. These women are making history for the culture of Iran at large, as well as for the future of their nation. They are prepared to serve as dauntless casualties in the process. Iran women are fighting for more than their own freedoms. Their opposition to the controlling regime is making strides for other subcultures that face similar Iranian oppression, especially for the vulnerable populations of racial, lingual, and cultural minorities. These groups, while largely unrecognized by the rest of the world, and I can just add something here. I'm talking about the so-called Western feminists. They're ignored by them. While they're largely unrecognized by the rest of the world, they face unfathomable abuses, marginalization, and control from the Iranian government and those favored by the regime. As we bear witness to this pivotal time in Iranian history, we are also privileged to commend these women for all that they are doing for themselves and others in their stance of fearless solidarity. In this beginning wave of a long projected battle for freedom, we see promising historical steps for Iranian women. Following the death of Mahsa Amini, the women of Iran have continued to make international news for nearly 2 years, straight amplifying the rebellion alongside the following international accolades. Listen to this, Mahsa Amini winning the European Union's Sakharov Prize, Narges Mohammadi, the Nobel Peace Prize, and Nazanin Banadi, the Sydney Peace Prize. With prominent headline after headline around the globe, the world remains enticed and captivated by the women of Iran. And the tables are turning as the fearful Iranian regime grapples with the question of how to contain this growing movement without losing control over its people. As women push these boundaries with the Iranian government, will the Iranian government concede? We're witnessing this progress. Just within the last year, women have been permitted to attend professional football games. Perhaps this will be another drop in a flood toward ending the discriminatory control and abuse toward those deemed second-class citizens in Iran. And as our thoughts and prayers remain with the Iranian women, so do our hearts of strength and solidarity. Our voices continue to amplify theirs, memorializing those who have given their very lives for this cause and uplifting those continuing in the uprising by making the truth around the world. They make the truth known around the world, that is. We further spur on the movement for these women as the West, as well as the rest of Iran, in the brave fight for voice and freedom. So we have a humanitarian to magnify this reality through social media, in our conversation with others, and by supporting organizations that are on the ground in Iran helping these very brave women, from activist groups pushing for policy change to ministries and nonprofits striving to ensure these women continue to be heard around the world, diligently working to offer safety, educational resources, opportunities, and tangible materials specific to their needs. Now, more than ever, we have the optimal chance to help this courageous, strong, and yet underprivileged group speak out. Let's come alongside the women of Iran as they continue making history. This was an article written by Lana Silk, and posted in the Washington Times just a couple of days ago, a very well thought out written article that I refer back to time and time again. Now, what I want to do right now is I want to feature actor, musician, and activist Golshapit Farahani. She is going to give us a poetic reflection honoring the women of Iran in the Woman Life Freedom Uprising, and she will refer to those that were killed in this horrible uprising. She refers to them in the first person, taking their voice and adding it to hers. You have to listen to this provocative, poetic lecture by Golshapit Farahani. Let's listen.
I am Mahsa. I am 22 years old. I am from Kurdistan. I came on vacation to Tehran for 2 days with my brother. I got arrested for not wearing my veil properly. Then I was beaten repeatedly and eventually went into a coma and died. I am Nika. I am 16 years old. I dressed all in black, took my water bottle and a small towel to protect myself from tear gas. I went on the street to protest. I got kidnapped, tortured. I am Nika's shattered skull. I am her battered body, delivered to her family 10 days after she got kidnapped. Eventually, she was buried without warning in some faraway cemetery. I am Puya. I went to protest with my mother. She said, "Don't let go of my hand." But I did, and I got shot. I died in front of her eyes. I'm Kian. I'm only 10 years old. I wanted to become a scientist, but my body was riddled with bullets. I am the boat on wheels he made with his little hands, carrying 70 more children over the rainbow, killed in a similar way. I am Kian's father, who was shot and paralyzed for life. I am Mohammad Mehdi, a karate boy. I am the son of a peddler, brought up in poverty. I was hanged at dawn during the morning prayers. I am one of the last sentences of Mohammad to his father. Don't tell mom they want to execute me. I am Tumaj, a rapper, tortured and kept in solitary confinement for months and months. I am Elahe. I am Niloufar. We are journalists who reported on the death of Mahsa. We have been in prison since. I am 537 victims of this revolution in Iran. The ones who got executed, the ones who got tortured, the tens of thousands of wounded and arrested and imprisoned innocent men and women. I am the raised fist of young girls with their hair flowing in the wind. I am their glorious dance. I am their blood, their sighs, their tears, their dreams, their eyes, their lost eyes by rubber bullets. I am the reason they stood up. I am freedom. And I'm also Golshifteh. I'm an artist. I'm living a life of exile for the past 15 years. I was forced to leave my motherland. But I kept fighting as a woman for life to be free. My choices and existence as an exiled female artist was my battle. Exist to resist. But the courageous, fearless Generation Z who started this revolution, they didn't leave. They stayed and they went on the street and died for woman, life and freedom. Death breaks the cage but doesn't kill the bird, as Rumi says. We carry these birds in us, let them fly on their way to victory. Wars, discrimination, dictatorships, racism, it is all the same. Iran is the rest of the world. The world is Iran. Woman, life, freedom, Black Lives Matter, Glory to Ukraine. Ignorance and fear is the cause of it all. We can all decide today to be the bridge, to unite rather than separate. Any child living in a dictatorship, any refugee child being denied help, any child being killed in war, if we ignore one, we ignore our own children and we deny humanity. The poet Saadi once said, human beings are members of a whole, in creation of one essence and soul. If one member is afflicted with pain, other members uneasy will remain. If you have no sympathy for human pain, the name of human you cannot retain. Thank you.
Thank you, Goashaf Farahani, actor, musician, activist, poetic reflection on the Woman, Life, and Freedom Movement. So brilliantly and beautifully well done. I want to honor from my book, Uprising, We Are the Revolution, in celebration of International Women's Month, a very, very important figure in this movement. Her name is Armida Abbasi. And the title of the article that I wrote about her was called Living with the Scars. You need to hear her story. On February 7, 2023, 22-year-old Armida Abbasi was finally released from prison on bail after 120 grueling days in captivity. The platinum blonde freedom fighter finally emerged from the hellhole of Fardis prison in Karaj with her hair now fully grown back. She emerged as a survivor bearing the ugly scars of horrific sexual abuse by the vile security forces that had arrested her. It is a well-known fact that in Iran, women are treated as nothing more than objects of sexual pleasure to satisfy the male predators that stalk them on a daily basis. It was during the early months of the uprising that security forces raped their female prisoners as one way of silencing them and putting an end to the protests. They chose the women that were pretty and ones that suited their pathetic appetite. One such woman was Armida Abbasi. Armida grew up in the city of Karaj and was a regular on social media. She loved to get on Instagram and make videos of herself drinking coffee and playing with her cats. However, Armida was also well known as a bold and courageous leader of the protests. When she wasn't on Instagram, she was busy in the city streets speaking out against the government oppression of women. On October 10th, security forces finally converged on Armida and arrested her while she was protesting in the streets. According to one eyewitness, she was beaten and thrown into a state security van where she was brutally gang-raped on the way to jail. 8 long and grueling days passed, and on October 17th, Armida was rushed to Imam Ali Hospital in Karaj by plainclothes officers. When she arrived, doctors noticed that her head was shaved. She was shaking violently and hemorrhaging from the rectum. Within a few hours, security forces secretly removed her from the rear entrance of the hospital before her parents could even see her. The doctors who examined Armida were convinced that she had been sexually assaulted. However, the official report from the police was that Armida was suffering from a hemorrhoidal condition prior to her arrest. Since the Iranian Revolution, when Khomeini was the supreme leader, it has been a common practice for female prisoners to be sexually molested and raped to keep them from entering paradise after they're executed. The supreme leader declared, "Such rapes are essential to prevent these anti-Islamic women from entering paradise. So rape is extremely important to prevent them from entering heaven. A vile religious practice to satisfy the disgusting appetite of pathetic men is performed on helpless, innocent women. So instead of going to paradise, they will suffer for eternity in hell, according to Islamic theology." This is exactly how Armida was treated. She was pretty, intelligent, and a threat to the male establishment. They could not tolerate her being a leader of the protests, for having Molotov cocktails in her home, and for daring to stand up against the government. She had to be punished and taught a lesson. Her family was also warned not to talk to the media. They were told, if you want to see your daughter alive again, you need to participate in a TV interview saying that their daughter was taken to the hospital, quote, due to bloody diarrhea and not rape. However, her family rightly refused. On January 2nd, 2023, Armita went on a dry hunger strike in prison, protesting her long detention and lack of medical care. 14 other cellmates joined in. A few weeks later, Armita's lawyers resigned from her case, stating they were not allowed to visit their client in prison. A court-appointed lawyer stepped in and took her case. A week later, Armita was brought before Judge Asif al-Husseini, who is known for his cruelty and was charged with propaganda against the establishment, making Molotov cocktails and holding a gathering with the intention of acting against national security. The charges against Armita are serious enough to put her behind bars for an extremely long time. Armita is out on bail, but she is forced to live with the traumatic scars of extreme sexual abuse. The images of the horrendous rape attack haunts her in the sleepless nights when she lies awake struggling to suppress the nightmares. I can't even imagine what she is going through. The psychological and spiritual damage that was done to her body and mind is utterly unacceptable. Dear Armita, my heart aches for you, for I know you are a tough, brave, and very strong woman, but you bear the scars of vile predators determined to punish you for life for standing up to a dictatorship government. I admire your incredible courage, Armita. I want to share with you that there is a loving God that desires to heal the trauma and the scars that you are suffering from. When you were terrified and shaking with fear, he was there to comfort you. He is a God of compassion and love, Armita. There is a beautiful promise in the Bible written just for you. It says, you keep track of all of my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book, Psalm 56, verse 8. Dear Armita, Jesus understands your pain and suffering. He experienced horrific pain when he was dying on the cross to forgive all of our guilt and shame. For every tear that you've ever cried and every pain that you've ever endured, God kept track of it. He recorded it in his book, and I assure you, dear Armita, that those who violated you will be held accountable. They will not escape justice. Cry out to Jesus, dear Armita. He is waiting with you and waiting for you with his arms of love held wide open to bring hope and healing to your scars. From my book, Uprising, We Are the Revolution. How do I say in words of dedication, how do I explain the very intent of my heart to describe the honor I have of being a voice for these women? It goes beyond just regular everyday human language to say how much I admire and just stand up for your relentless courage and how I pray for you and support you. But there is a God in heaven that sees your tears and wants to heal your scars. And he is a God that is always there. He is an ever-present help in the time of need. And let's listen to this song by Christian Stanfill that echoes exactly what I'm saying. Music from Christian Stanfill, a song that really describes the character and the love and the commitment that God has to us as human beings, that he is a refuge and a strength for us always. Join me this Thursday on the Cross in the Desert. We're going to have a really good celebration, a good time together. It's going to be a special program celebrating Nowruz, the start of the Persian New Year. You don't want to miss that. So we're going to learn about Nowruz this Thursday and celebrate with our dear Iranian friends the Persian New Year. God bless you. See you then.